Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you. We are coming to you on Monday, October 12th, the day after the NBA season is officially done. What has been the longest NBA offseason or NBA season for several different reasons. I would think people would say mentally, physically, you know. Obviously, in terms of time, it certainly has been a lot of stuff going on. Stuff that's just more important on so many different levels than the NBA itself. But while those things certainly do deserve the attention that they deserve, and they certainly of higher importance than the NBA, I do think that, you know, it's a time to celebrate. I mean, if you're a Lakers fan, obviously it's a time to celebrate because of the Lakers winning. Congratulations to the Lakers. But if you're an NBA fan, I mean, you know, just the way that the NBA was able to, you know, basically in a situation where it seemed like they were near the impossible of being able, you know, it seemed like it was impossible for them to be able to get out of this whole situation without some type of negative outcome. There really wasn't. And as a matter of fact, there were a lot of positive outcomes that came out of the bubble, and we'll talk about that in just a bit. But first, I want to, you know, remind you that you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, and you can find the show wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, the iPod app on your phone, you know, wherever you choose to listen, we are there. We ask that you listen, subscribe, review, let us know what you think. We always want to know, you know, what our listeners think, and we also want to know what you would like for us to talk about. We want our content to be relevant to our listeners' preferences. Today is a pretty special episode for me. This is the six-month anniversary in which I have been a host with Locked On Grizzlies. Now, I was with Mark King from April to basically August. Mark then went his separate way. He had a lot of things going on. He is doing well. You know, we certainly always love catching up with Mark, and, you know, obviously anytime we can get an update on him, but he is doing well, certainly still out there ready to talk about the Grizzlies. But I've now been, you know, the host here for about 2 months now, have enjoyed every minute of it. I have been covering the Grizzlies now for a little over 2 years. I started out at Grizzly Bear Blues, started writing there. I've done the podcast opportunity now for nearly 2 years. Started off with the 3&D podcast independently, then went over to the Grizzly Bear Blues podcast network. Now here with Locked On Grizzlies, and like I say, I've enjoyed every minute of it. I write and I talk and I discuss the Grizzlies in sports because they're all passions. And the reason that I love doing this is to share my passions, you know, is to interact with others who I share passions with. And so I certainly cherish every opportunity that I can do these shows, and I can't thank you enough for listening. And if you are a new listener, we've got a lot of exciting things to talk about in the second and third segment of today's show. We'll talk about the NBA offseason. You know, there's not much in place right now, but we'll kind of discuss what to look forward to, you know, how it could impact the Grizzlies going forward. And, you know, we won't get too specific now. We have plenty of time, obviously, to do that, but we'll just stay type of general as to what to expect. Also want to remind you of our title sponsor, BuiltBar.com. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, put in the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order of Built Bar while supplies last. I can tell you, I don't think it will be your last, but if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you can get $10 off using the promo code LOCKEDON while supplies last. But let's talk about the NBA Finals. Let's talk about the bubble itself. So the Los Angeles Lakers, 16-5 through the playoffs this year, winning the NBA Finals in six games, you know, 4-2. Now, obviously, you know, it's an amazing accomplishment. There are so many different ways to look at this title won by the Lakers, and I think that, you know, it's fun to kind of look at it in different perspectives, and we'll start with the historical perspective. You know, the Lakers have now won their 17th title. That ties the Boston Celtics for the most titles in NBA history. It actually had been a decade since the Lakers had won a title, and I think they said it last night perfectly. You know, for most franchises, you know, the Lakers being without, you know, having won a title 10 years ago, being without a title, you know, or being without making the playoffs for 6 years, for a lot of franchises, that's just the normal cycle, you know, of contention. But for the Lakers, it's not acceptable. Well, they won their title. Obviously, their 17th title for LeBron James now, his fourth title. I believe he's now 4-6. Yeah, 4-6 in the NBA Finals. But, you know, the big thing about it is this: 4 NBA titles, two with the Heat, one with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and one with the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, just showing how big of an impact LeBron has. And just for the way that he does things, last night, another triple-double at the age of 35. LeBron just, again, showed why he is, you know, he's just separate from everybody else. And I saw a lot of people, you know, say that last night really established that LeBron James is the second best player of all time. And I know that, you know, we don't want to debate and, you know, there's no need to debate and get heated and all that different stuff. You need to celebrate these players for what they are because they were in different eras. And I get that. I still like to debate myself. But LeBron, for me, has already been established as the second best player of all time for many years. Michael Jordan will always be number one for me. I grew up, you know, I was born in the mid-80s. I grew up in the 90s, you know, when Michael was in his heyday. The Last Dance was just an absolute, just ride of nostalgia and excitement watching it earlier this year. But yes, I for years have felt that LeBron James is the second best player I have ever seen. I feel he's the most physically gifted NBA player that I've ever seen, but I do think that he now is the second best player in NBA history. That could be debated, I'm sure, but in my opinion, from what I've seen and what I've read and, you know, what I've come to learn about the game, he would rank number two for me after Michael Jordan. Of course, there's another person who has been in the conversation, you know, with Michael and LeBron. It kind of seemed like that once Michael retired, you know, it was in the 90s, it was Michael. In the 2000s, it was Kobe. And in the 2010s, it was LeBron as the marquee name, the true iconic name that was in the NBA. Of course, it may not seem like it's been, you know, that it was just a short time ago. But of course, Kobe Bryant passed away in January of this year, and the NBA could not have worked out better for the Lakers to have won, you know, an NBA title to honor Kobe's legacy. You know, I know that a lot of people pointed out Kobe. You know, I don't want to say, for lack of a better word, that sometimes it seemed like it was, you know, just, you know, cliche, because I don't think it was. I think that Kobe was in the center of a lot of what the Lakers did. They used him as motivation a lot. And so I'm glad that for both LeBron and for Kobe, you know, in the year that we unfortunately lost Kobe Bryant, LeBron, in my opinion, truly established himself in the minds of many as being the second best basketball player, you know, in history. And I think that certainly is significant. And, you know, by honoring the legacy of Kobe, you know, LeBron was able to, you know, find the best way he can honor him by winning an NBA championship in the present. I think that it sets another big thing up. I think the Lakers now become, over the next few years, they kind of become that big bad villain. You know, we thought that the Clippers might be it, and next year it's going to be phenomenal. You've got the Lakers, you've got the Clippers, you've got the Nuggets, who have emerged as a true, you know, Western Conference title contender. They certainly, especially if they were to make a move for another marquee talent to put with Jokic and Murray this offseason, I think they emerge. And then you've also got the Warriors coming back as well. What can they do with that number two overall pick? So I think that this sets up the opportunity for the West to truly be phenomenal next year. You know, you're going to have Giannis in place in the East. You're going to have the Celtics. Obviously, the Heat, they may add a marquee name as well this offseason. But the big thing that I think that you also saw for in the present is that you're going to have the, you know, regular guys that you expected this year, the Clippers, the Lakers, and others. But the depth of true title contenders is certainly going to be there. I think that you went from 3 to 5 teams this year, now to 6 or 8. And I really think that next year, any of those 6 or 8 teams could truly emerge, you know, as the team that, you know, could surprise. You're going to have your expected guys there, your favorites, and then you're going to have your teams that could surprise, like the Nuggets and the Heat obviously did this year. And then for the future, I think that you're starting to see some depth in terms of the star power that's in the NBA. You know, these truly iconic, historic, all-time talents, you know, they're aging. You know, Stephen Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, you know, the other names that are out there, right, you know, plenty of other names that are out there. You do have your Giannis's and your Anthony Davis's and others who are coming up, but you do now see the depth of talents that are still under the age of 25 that are truly stepping up to be superstars. As I mentioned last week, Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker to an extent in the bubble. Of course, Jimmy Butler did. You know, in my opinion, he established himself as a superstar. He may not be the most talented guy, and he may not be a true superstar in terms of what the NBA looks for today. But I do think that the future has certainly been impacted by the finals and the run to the finals as well, because I think some depth has been added to the star power that's in the NBA. So overall, the bubble was just a tremendous success. You had the safety and security of the players in place. You made sure that attention was paid to obviously much more important issues that were outside of the bubble that continued to go on. But in terms of basketball itself, you couldn't have asked for better. The product itself, it got better as time went on. There were some concerns in the bubble, but this playoffs, I know ratings have been down. This playoffs has been phenomenal. The actual product of basketball that's been played, the level of basketball that has been played, has been excellent. Like I stated last week, I can't remember a playoffs over the past few years where there's been so many competitive games, and you saw surprises. You saw the Heat and the Nuggets really pull upsets that you didn't expect. So overall, the bubble, I think, has benefited the NBA on so many levels. It set some historical, you know, it's validated some historical takes. In the present, it really allowed for there to be some depth and excitement to the NBA. And also in the future, it helped to establish the careers or progress the careers of several players that I think a lot of people will continue to be excited for as time goes on. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to start looking at the offseason, give some general information about the offseason as far as what to look forward to, and really some dates to set on your calendar as far as when to expect some news to come out. We'll be right back with you. As with a lot of people, people set their daily routine in order to get some type of consistency going, some blueprint that they can stay committed to in case things go awry. Well, I know one thing that a lot of people would like to add to their blueprint is healthy behaviors, small things that could add up to really benefit their health going forward. One thing I can definitely suggest is Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. In a lot of situations, you typically would have to sacrifice taste to get the health, or you'd have to sacrifice the health to get the taste. Well, with Built Bar, that's not the case. You truly do get a tasty snack that's healthy for you. It's also versatile. You can have it at any point during the day, for breakfast, before and after a workout, as an afternoon snack, listening to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network show. And it also allows for you to be able to choose from different flavors. I personally like the peanut butter, but if you go to BuiltBar.com, you can find a wide assortment. If you also go to BuiltBar.com right now and put in the promo code LockedOnNBA, you'll get $10 off your next order. That's $10 off your next order of Built Bar while supplies last. I can tell you this with confidence, though, if you get one order of Built Bar, it's likely going to stay in your daily routine because that's how incredible it is. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKEDON, and get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. So typically, any other NBA year, we're looking at right now being about 10 days, you know, within, you know, the first game of the season. I think last year on October 12th, we literally were within 10 days as the season started on October 22nd. Well, this year, obviously, the season ended on October 11th, and so now we're at October 12th. And I can tell you this, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I personally will say I truly do not have a grasp of just how exhausted a lot of these players certainly are. For instance, Jimmy Butler, you know, LeBron, Anthony Davis, these players who basically, a lot of these players who have been playing every other day now for nearly 2 months. And it's just incredible to see the effort that they have put forward. Now, the NBA's demanded a lot of these players, and the players have likely been thankful. They have likely done this, you know, because they're competitive, but also, you know, out of respect for the NBA. The NBA did a lot. They put a lot of effort into place not only to protect these players when the COVID-19 pandemic started up, but also to allow for their season, which the NBA players wanted, to allow for their season to continue in a safe and trusty environment. And that's what the bubble certainly was. But a lot of these players are exhausted. And so there has to be a time for the NBA from all different levels, because several people, it's not just the players, you know, these coaches, mental exhaustion, physical exhaustion, you know, just the effort every single day of being on top of things to try to, you know, quell the potential that a situation that could change at the drop of a hat, you know, that it doesn't. It stays as you know, as small of a threat as possible. Well, you know, obviously that threat's not going away anytime soon. Hopefully in time it will, you know, with the medical advancements and whatever it may be. But because of that, the NBA offseason, while it is here, and there are some general ideas of what will occur, you know, eventually the normal stuff that you see every year will occur. The big thing to understand is, though, is that not a lot of dates are set to know when they will occur. So just basically to give you a timeline of kind of how things will go. So it's obviously October 12th, and typically, you know, Ben Golliver over at the Washington Post wrote a wonderful article that came out today that really pinpointed a lot of the questions that many have about how the offseason will go. And as he points out, if you're an NBA fan, one thing that you love about it is that, you know, as soon as the finals are over, the offseason just gets started. Typically, August and September are the slow times, because typically the NBA finals will end in mid-June, and then you'll get the NBA draft at the, you know, around the 20th, 21st, 22nd of June. And then you'll get free agency that starts on July 1st. Well, now there's going to be a couple of months, basically. We're probably going to get a six-week time frame between now and the draft. So the first date to really notice is that the NBA draft is on November 18th. Now, Adam Silver came out and said that could change in time. But the thing about it is that he feels that that is a solid date to give some type of normalcy to this offseason. It allows for everybody that's been involved in the bubble to have the time that they need to kind of relax, get back in the swing of things. You know, soon him, both the NBA and the NBA Players Association, they'll get back into the negotiating table trying to make next season as normal as possible. So November 18th is when the draft occurs. That means that, you know, some other dates, you know, come and kind of get into, you know, general perspective. You know, one is that I likely think that the NBA will probably target December 1st as free agency. That seems to be just a nice, you know, general date. If the draft's going to be the 18th, it's in a normal time frame. You get another week to 10 days after that for the free agency to start. So I think that free agency will start December 1st. Now, it's really going to be interesting, though, to see if that's the date, because this is going to be a very interesting free agency year. Because one thing that is not known, that is very important, and that is going to take some time for the NBA and the Players Association to kind of get an idea of, is what the salary cap is. Because a big contributing factor to the salary cap would be what has happened, obviously, you know, with revenue from ticket sales. Well, obviously that was not there this year. So what could the NBA and the NBA Players Association do? There's been discussion about maybe just tentatively into next year to again create some sort of normalcy. That seems to be the big theme of all this in these discussions. What can be done to create as much normalcy as possible while also protecting from the unexpected that occurs with COVID-19? So one thing that's been discussed is maybe keeping the salary cap as it is. That allows four teams, you know, the free agents to still get the intrigue and interest and potential earnings that, you know, as close as possible to what they would in a normal year. That allows teams to be able to not have to worry about unexpectedly, you know, possibly making, you know, cost-cutting moves to avoid paying taxes. That's one, you know, potential outcome from this. But the general theme is besides, you know, getting too much into specifics, keep things as normal as possible. But also, there's a lot that still is up in the air. But that's kind of what I'm thinking from just reading some of these articles that I read today, was that the NBA draft would be looking at the November 18th. And then from there, NBA free agency would be looking at December 1st. Now, of course, when it comes to the Grizzlies, you know, a few things that come into play there that are interesting is, you know, when might restricted free agency, you know, some decisions being made on that, when might that come into play? You know, last year, it typically falls around the same time that free agency was, but with the Anthony Melton out there as a restricted free agent, what becomes of him? How is he impacted by all this? It'll be interesting to see the fallout from that. So all this leads up to, okay, so typically July 1st is free agency. Then you have nearly 4 months. You go through July, August, September, in which you don't really have a lot of things going, and then you have media days in the start of the season. You know, around the end of September's media days, and then, you know, about 3 weeks later is the start of the season. Well, this time around, they're looking at late January to early November likely being the case. And the whole thing that this comes down to is this at the end of the day. Once we get past the draft, once we get past free agency, which, you know, the NBA is more in control of in terms of making it, it's obviously going to be a different time of the year, but making it as normal as possible in terms of the routine. The one thing that continues to be up in the air, though, is when the start of the season will be. And I do think that the NBA is not going to really hold itself to a true starting time. I know people want it to get started as soon as possible, but as Adam Silver mentioned, the whole goal of this is that for the NBA wants to get back to normal as soon as possible. Now, there's not a lot out there that's going to allow for them to know whether or not that can happen. However, the way that they feel that they're going to do that is by doing all that they can to get fans back in the stands. And so if that means taking a little bit longer, potentially going towards the end of January, into, you know, beginning of February, maybe starting around when the All-Star break would usually start, the NBA is prepared to do that. Because at the end of the day, the other thing besides giving these players and everybody involved the rest that they need. The challenge for next year, but the goal of next year, is to make everything condensed. Try not to tire players out. Try not to make it be too much of a task for everybody involved in the NBA. But the goal of the NBA is to spend 2021 protecting the players and everybody else and getting fans back in the stands as much as they can with what COVID-19 presents. But also beyond that, making everything a bit condensed, making everything a bit quicker, shorter time frames between specific dates on the NBA calendar, so that by the time the 2021-2022 season starts, it is as close to as normal as possible. So that's the two big challenges for the NBA, the three big challenges for the NBA. While some tentative dates and ideas of dates are certainly there, it is what does it need to do in order for it to, number one, protect its players. Give them the time that they need to rest, protect everybody involved with the NBA, make sure that they stay healthy. Number two, create as good of an environment as possible for fans to come back, because that'll benefit the fans and obviously the financial overall health of the NBA, as well as also the product itself. And the third thing, though, is to plan in a way that will allow for them to transition into 2021 and allow for them to run a condensed but smooth season and off season, so that once 2021-2022 comes, they'll be as close as they can be to normal operations, as can be expected. So a lot goes in to this offseason. While some tentative understanding of dates are certainly there, nothing is solid yet. Anything could change at the drop of a hat, especially, if something unexpected were to happen because of COVID. But at the end of the day, this is likely going to be a longer offseason than most. But, also it's completely understood with it being an unprecedented time. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about the Grizzlies. Going to do a little bit of odds, over and under, as far as what to expect when it comes to the Grizzlies and their approach to the offseason. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy for anyone. For a lot of men, they just brush it off, and we blame ourselves or other things instead of what the actual issue is. We'll say things such as, I lost my mojo, or I had a long day at work, or sorry, I'm just not feeling it. We do what we can to try to avoid what really is the issue. But thankfully, there are ways out there for you to, really approach what the issue is and try your best to resolve it. One idea is Roman. With Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/XXX and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. If you go to Roman.com/LockedOnNBA today, you actually can get $15 off, if approved, off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA to, if approved, get $15 your first order of ED treatment. So welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So we discussed in the first segment how awesome the bubble was, how awesome the NBA Finals were, all the fallout from a historic, present, and future perspective that benefited the NBA, in the bubble. In the second segment, we talked about a little bit about this offseason, some general outlook, what dates to really consider, and, what may potentially come from some decisions being made, the salary cap, protecting the players' health, when fans can come back, what's the easiest way to get the season started to try to get back on track as normal, in the 2021-2022 season. But what about the Grizzlies? What are some headlines that are going to be out there for them? We know a lot of them, but will it be sooner rather than later when they can be expected? And, will we see, potential for, significant roster change and things such as that? Well, the first thing I can tell you is this, is that as I mentioned before, I do not expect for there to be anywhere near as much roster turnover or activity when it comes to the Grizzlies. I mean, naturally, that's just to be expected when you had as much turnover and additions and significant additions to the Grizzlies that they did last offseason. It's going to take place all over the whole NBA after such a crazy 2019 offseason where you saw so many, where the futures of so many franchises change, you know, in a matter of days. You know, you would expect now, especially with what's going on with COVID-19, it just makes sense that there's probably going to be less action going on. Now, I will say, though, there's still some exciting things out there in terms of the NBA, and it impacts the Grizzlies. As I mentioned before, you're seeing some different teams, especially out west, whose futures have changed. Look at the Clippers. Look at the Pelicans. Look at the Rockets. Look at the Thunder. All of these teams are in the process of coaching searches. And so you're really looking to see what occurs with those teams. And it's surprising as far as some of them go. But this also means now that when it comes to the Grizzlies' outlook for the offseason, there was, you know, honest, you know, straightforward, you know, opinions out there that it's likely going to be tougher for the Grizzlies to make the playoffs. Or I'll take this back. There's a good chance that there's going to be less of a positive impact from things outside of the Grizzlies' control that will help their postseason aspirations as there was this season. But now, with the Thunder and the Pelicans and the Rockets looking for new coaches, all three of those teams could take a step back unexpectedly. So now the Grizzlies could be impacted by that. I don't think that means that they become aggressive. I think the future remains the concern in Memphis. But that is one thing, you know, out there to see what happens with these coaching searches, especially the Pelicans and the Thunder, who are in the Grizzlies division. But as far as the Grizzlies go, obviously in terms of roster, the big question is who goes? Like, who potentially will not be with the Grizzlies next year that at some point or the whole season played a relevant role? Josh Jackson is in my opinion, is the most likely significant name of some sort to go, just with the lack of a role that he had when there was clear opportunity in the bubble, the fact that the Grizzlies are limited on what they could spend on him during the offseason, and the fact that he probably can get more run elsewhere, in a new situation. I think he's likely gone. When it comes to, D'Anthony Melton, looking at an over and under with him, you know, I would say the over and under, you know, potentially being, you know, we'll say $8 million, in my opinion, in terms of what he could make per year and what that means for his future, whether he stays or goes with the Grizzly. I'm actually going to go slightly under. I'm going to go at $7.5 million over 3 years each, you know, for D'Anthony Melton, and I think that keeps him in Memphis. Now, personally, I think that what I would do is if the Grizzlies find a good free agent out there, maybe a Bryn Forbes or somebody like that who we'll talk about in time, if the Grizzlies find a good discounted deal for a shooter that they clearly, you know, have a high preference for, I could see that potentially impacting the decision with D'Anthony Melton. But otherwise, Zach Kleiman, Taylor Jenkins have both mentioned, you know, Melton as being a part of this core. He certainly is a good contrast to the rest of the roster that brings him value and them value. So I do think D'Anthony Melton does stay. I think it's less for $8 million. And I put his chances of staying at 60 to 40 to him staying. What about trades? We saw so many of them last year. What potentially we could see? Setting the over and under at one, I'll say multiple, but I don't think anything will be big. I do think that the Grizzlies will make a trade or two this offseason as a way to get assets. Now, they won't take on much salary because the Justice Winslow signing and other things likely took up a lot of their cap space. But I do think you could potentially see perhaps Kyle Anderson or Gorgui Dieng moved in a deal for a perhaps more, you know, longer-term controlled shooter. Or you could see, you know, them moved potentially in the right move, you know, for future assets. Now, I'm not saying them individually would make sense, but you've got to create a front office who could make something happen. So I think the over and under as far as trades go, if you put it at one, I think that there will be two. So I'll go the over with that. What about free agent signings? We'll put the over and under at one. I think the Grizzlies make one significant free agent signing. And when I say significant, what I mean by that is that a clear addition to their bench. I don't think you're going to see him sign a starter because, you know, going into next year, I think it's Jonas, I think it's Jaren, I think it's Justice, I think it's Dylan, and I think it's Ja. But I do think that you could see an added member to the bench. You've already got Brandon Clark, you've got Tyus Jones, Grayson Allen, and hopefully D'Anthony Melton. But, you know, could you potentially see another shooting big? Could you potentially see, you know, if Kyle Anderson is traded into some sort of deal, another shooter being added? Potentially, yes. So I think I'll probably go even on the free agency signings. We'll probably, you know, go with one. So the whole thing is that as far as the Grizzlies offseason goes, I think that it's going to be, you know, tinkering instead of a major mega deal. I don't think that, you know, I talked about last time the idea of them going after Buddy Hield. You know, that's a deal that I don't think they're going to make, but I'm not going to be disappointed if they do. However, at the end of the day, with all the uncertainty that's out there, but with all the certainty that the Grizzlies have gained from this season for their future, I think they're going to stay on top of that wave. Again, as we've discussed, with the Grizzlies' current roster in place and the success that they had last season, one of the benefits from that is that going into the 2020-2021 season, there's really not an outcome out there that puts the Grizzlies in a bad spot that is not beneficial for the Grizzlies. If they make the playoffs, that's great for this young core. If they miss the playoffs, that's another potential lottery pick in a stronger draft that comes to this core. If they get better but miss the playoffs, you've got development, plus you've got a stronger ability to get a better asset added to your young core. So I think that the Grizzlies are going to err on the side of certainty, go with the higher percentages of what will allow for them to have the best chance of continuing their approach towards contention as soon as possible. And for me, that means I think that while you may see some moves, they're going to be minor. And at the end of the day, this roster is likely going to look very similar to what it did, you know, before the season was suspended. As always, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at Locked On, myself at Stats SAC, the podcast wherever podcasts are available. Thank you so much for taking time to join us. This week, we will be discussing, we'll start to discuss some names, some ideas of what the Grizzlies could look to do with the moves that they might make. Looking forward to talking with you about that. But until we do, hope you have a great time, a great day, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.